strong disgust. Being proud in his heart, this man, his spirit is elevated with his condition. He becomes insolent in his conduct towards God, in his conduct toward man. And, he admires himself, and many times others caress him and bless him, but it's not according so much about what he feels about himself and what others feel about him, but it's what the Lord feels about him. And he's a disgust to the Lord. He's an abomination to the Lord. The book of Proverbs has a lot to say about the proud individual. It has much to say about pride. In fact, the Bible itself has much to say about pride. Pride was the very thing that caused Lucifer to become the devil. He said, "I will exalt my throne above the Most High." Pride's a terrible thing. I'm sure we've all had to deal with that in some times in our life. You know, I think my mama and my daddy helped me right smart in my growing up days with the matter of pride. They knew how to humble you. I had some wonderful school teachers that knew how to bring you down and how to humble you. It's a good thing when we are humbled. We are taught to humble ourselves before the Lord. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs in 6 and verse 17, he said there are six things the Lord hates. Seven are an abomination to him. And the first thing that he mentions is a proud look. So I think that's pretty high on the list. That's an abomination. That's disgusting to God, and the Lord hates it. Pride, a proud look. Proverbs 15:25 said, "The Lord will destroy the house of the proud." We have this verse that I've read tonight. We find in Proverbs 21, verse 4, "A high look and a proud heart, and the sowing of the wicked is sin." Then we read in Proverbs 28:25, "He that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife." And I never gave it a whole lot of thought, I don't guess. I can't recall it. But, that's really where strife, that's where it originates at. People being proud, they feel like they're not treated like they ought to be treated. I'm better than that, and so on and so forth. That's reality. That's what the Word of God said about it. It said, "He that's of a proud heart stirreth up strife." Pride, numerous times in the Proverbs. Here, chapter 16, verse 18. Said, "Pride goeth before destruction, haughty spirit before a fall." So we're taught to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. I've made this expression, this statement, different times, and I remember where I heard this at. Been many years ago, but a fellow was talking about this matter of pride in our lives and in our heart, and he said, "I've seen people that I'd like to buy them for what they are worth and sell them for what they think they're worth." And I've seen a few people like that myself. Pride's something we all have to deal with, you know that? If you have a little success in your life, you're not careful, you'll get feeling a little proud about it. Thing of it is, you need to realize that we are what we are by the grace of God. And if there's anything ever done in our lives, it's the good grace of God that done that in our lives. My old country pastor said years ago, if you ever get feeling real proud of yourself, just go out in the yard, get you a handful of dirt, sift it through your fingers, And then that's what you're made out of, you know. Just refined clay. That's it. But hadn't the Lord been good? Praise God. I mean, when you really realize how great God is, what a wonderful God he is, it just causes me to want to fall prostrate at his feet and say, thank you, dear Jesus, for your wonderful mercy and your wonderful grace. Oh, yes. Pride goeth before destruction. The haughty spirit before a fall. Proverbs 29:23 said, a man's pride shall bring him low. And then some more verses that I'll read, and then we'll catch the next verse. We're prone to glory in many different things in life, but in Jeremiah chapter number 9 and verse 23, Jeremiah 9:23, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth, glory in this, that he understandeth and know me, and that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment and righteousness in the earth, for in these things I delight, saith the Lord. That's what we ought to glory in. Paul said, Galatians 6:14, God forbid that I glory save in the cross of Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Oh, friend, that's what we ought to glory in. You ought to glory in something, glory that you know the Lord and you understand what Jesus did on the cross in your stead. That's right. We turn back to the book of Micah, or move over to the book of Micah. And I didn't think of this verse till I got to church and wasn't for sure I could find it, but I did find it, and I think it's a great verse. Israel were a sinning people, and in verse number 6 of Micah 6, they said, wherewith shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with the calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, or with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? And we do know that God did institute the sacrificial system, and God was pleased when man, in humbleness, in righteousness, in sincerity, when a man would bring an offering before the Lord, God was pleased. When Abel, Cain offered her offering, Abel offered an offering of blood, an offering of faith in God, and God was pleased, and he let him know that he was pleased with his offering. That's right. When Noah, the waters were abated, and Noah came off safely from the ark, he offered up offerings unto God, and God smelt a sweet savor. I mean, it's not that God's not pleased with that. I'm saying in the Old Testament era, but the thing that was disgusting to God was the manner of life they lived and the sin and the insincerity of their heart. So they're asking, can I bring sacrifices to God? Is this really what the Lord desires? But he says, the answer of the prophet in verse 8 said, he hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. Now we know you got to be saved by grace. We know you got to be saved by the grace of God. But when a man gets saved by the grace of God, God requires of him to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with God. In fact, that's the only way that you and I will be able to walk with God is to walk humbly with our God. And so may the Lord help us to humble ourselves before the Lord. Glory only in the wonderful grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let's move on. If I can get back to the book of Proverbs. And the next verse says that by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. By the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. In this first part of this verse, we see how that the guilt of sin is taken away from us. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. By the mercy of truth, by the mercy and truth of God. Mercy in God's promising, truth in God's performing. The mercy and truth, which I think it's in the Psalms, it said, mercy and truth have kissed each other. And now I tell you what that is speaking of. It's speaking of when Jesus Christ went to the cross and paid our sin debt, mercy and truth kissed each other, or there was great agreement between mercy and truth. The truth of the whole matter were and is, we're sinners deserving the thrice judgment of a holy God. We deserve the judgment of a holy God. We're sinners. And if we got what we deserved, God would still send us to hell if we got what we deserved. But thank God, mercy and truth kissed each other at the cross, and Jesus Christ, the truth were, we were sinners, but God's mercy met that truth. Jesus died on the cross for our sins, paying our sin debt in full. And that's how mercy and by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. You see, those that really fear God will not dare sin against Him. Their minds have a holy dread and a reverence for the Lord. That's right. We find in this first part of the verse how sin is expiated, or about the atonement. In the second part, you find how sin is to be avoided, and that's by the fear of the Lord. That's how men depart from evil. That's why I turned to Christ and departed from evil, was because I learned to fear the Lord. Verse 7. When a man's ways please the Lord, He maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. That's a pretty strong statement. Really is. I think this matter of living with people is an understandable problem. I think living with people is an understandable problem. Paul said, Romans 12:18, if it be possible. If it be possible, let every man live peaceably. I mean, Paul even had a question if it was a possible thing. He said, if, and this thing of living with people can be a problem. It sure can. But the thing about it is, this verse of Scripture said, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Here we have the far-reaching influence of goodness. It disarms opposition. It arouses reverence and love. It gives no occasions for disputes. It spreads around it an atmosphere of peace. I've thought about in days gone by the people that I could have really had problems with, but I chose not to have problems with them. You know, I remember, and I've shared this different time, not long ago, but there was a neighbor, and I had leased a 12-acre field 3 or 4 or 5 miles from the house, and I had it for years and paid rent on it every year. This guy had hunting rights. I don't know if he paid anything for the land. I don't have a clue. That's between him and somebody else. It wasn't none of my business about the hunting rights or whatever. But I went in one summer day and began to work up the field, and I was going to sow it in some soybeans and have some hay for the cattle. And he commenced to tell me how many feet that I needed to leave out the edge of the field for the deer and so on and so forth. And I didn't say a lot, but I thought, I'm not raising deer feed, I'm raising cow feed. And I did tell him that I was paying rent on the field. But I told him this, I said, if you'll let me sow my beans, get my hay off this fall, you can have the piece of property. That's exactly what we did. Nothing else was ever said. I wait on him at the store these days. I think I sold him some hay after that. But I just choose, you know, try to please the Lord. I don't like disruption. I don't like confusion. I don't like strife. I've got a neighbor, and occasionally my calves, he's got a corner lot, and he don't raise a garden. But anyway, I don't want my calves on him. But every now and then they'll get out. I'll go over there, and the last time I was over there patching fence next to his place, real close to his place, he called my name, said, is that you, Wayne Nelson? I went out there and we talked, and I patched fence. I said, I'm sorry about the calves. And you know, I'm telling you, I'm honest with you. I believe a lot of strife is caused by pride. And I believe we need to try to learn to please the Lord, and we can get along with people better. I believe that. Amen. That's right. Well, what about that? I believe that's true, don't you? I mean, the Lord works in his life. Lord works in his life. If you ain't careful, you'll have a problem with your kids and, I mean, you know, and your neighbors. And the first thing you know, your kids is mad at you and your neighbors is mad at you. And about half the world's, am I right? Well, hallelujah, truth is truth. Let's move on. Verse 8. Better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without right. I don't think there's really anything wrong with having a big house and a big boat and a big bank account if you can have it. But better is little with righteousness than great revenues without right. I got to think about this little. Most of our grandparents and parents lived in those little old, a lot of them, with those little old frame houses, a little front porch on, and 2 bedrooms, and a path. And they just had little. But my, wasn't it better? I mean, it really was. It really was better. I know I can remember my siblings older than me. They possum hunted for entertainment and played checkers of the nighttime and, you know, had a whole lot of fun. But today, everything's bigger, but everything ain't better. I was thinking, you know, I don't live in a little bitty house, but it's not elaborate. But it's pretty big when you try to heat it. My wife says it's pretty big when you try to clean it. But anyway, I'm sure little is better with righteousness. But I'm about tired of these cars that you put on instead of get in. I mean, you know, I may buy me one 20-foot long one of these days. And when you get in it, you don't have to lay down to get in it and mess your hair up after you spent 5 minutes with it. Amen. But it's still better with little and righteousness than it is to have great things and great revenues without right. It is maintained that a small estate, honestly come by, which a man is content with, he enjoys it comfortably. He serves God with it cheerfully. He puts it to a right use. It is much better and more valuable than a great estate, ill-got, ill-kept, and ill-spent. It carries with it more inward satisfaction, a better reputation with all that are wise and good. It will last longer and turn to a better account in the great day when men will be judged not according to what they had, but what they did. Words of Matthew Henry. Well, what do we learn tonight? We won't learn that God hates pride. Proud look, proud heart, and his proud ways. God hates it, and it's abomination to him. We've learned that at the cross, mercy and truth met together, and our sins are forgiven. Hallelujah. Isn't that great? And we've learned through the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. And when people live in sin, practice sin with a high hand, nobody can tell them to get out of it. And them listen, could I say to you tonight, they don't have the fear of God in their heart. And then we learn a man's ways please the Lord. God makes his enemies to be at peace with him. And we've talked about being satisfied, being better with little. And I've said this recently, and I say it again tonight. I don't want no more land. I can't keep the fence rows cleaned out on what I got. Can't keep the down trees trimmed up and out of the way. Can't keep bush hogged what I need to bush hog. Got more taxes than I'm really liking. And I don't want no more land. I really don't. I wouldn't care to have another $5 so I could. No, I'm telling you, I'm really, to be honest with you, I'm learning more all the time just to be content. I really am. It's something you learn, and I'm learning more all the time just to be content, just a little. Amen. That's all it takes. All it takes, just a little. I hope you love the Lord tonight. I hope you love the Lord. I hope you love the Lord. Boykin, I didn't know you were going to be here tonight, or I would have asked you to take care of prayer meeting tonight. But I didn't know. But I want you to do this. I want you to come. I just got through reading your prayer letter out here, update. But I want you to come and give us a little history of your ministry, what's going on in your ministry. This is Vanessa's